The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Kirirau o te motu rārau mai kia on the rag. He konei ipurangi mō ngā mana wāhine. Welcome everybody to the January episode of On the Rag. This is your friendly home for us New Zealand banshees to shriek as we see fit about the world around us.
Yes, please.
Screech it to the skies.
My name is Alex Casey. I am joined as always by the lovely Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora.
And Michelle Ecourt.
Kia ora.
What a day. I feel like I have been waiting to do this podcast for 10 years.
It has been a month that lasted for 10 years.
It's crazy.
It was really weird because I was away in Rarotonga for the first 2 weeks of it and came and ignored everything and then came back to just a shitstorm of bullshit.
I'm sorry, Michelle, that's why it fell apart.
Because I wasn't here fixing things. God,
never leave again.
Oh, God. And then it was just hit after hit after hit. And it stopped being, you know, you go through the threshold of, oh, this is just ridiculous. So I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. Before we get stuck into that, we have to shout out the Women's Bookshop, our best friends in the whole world who make this podcast possible.
We love you.
We love them so much. And they help us so much. Please go check them out on Ponsonby Road if you're in Auckland or at www.thewomansbookshop.co.nz. We actually celebrated Carol of the Women's Bookshop, who got on the New Year's
honours
list for her contributions to literature.
That is amazing.
Coolness.
And
I'm
she's so deserved. Yeah, literature and women, I think. Mm. What a nice combo. 1-2.
She did the coolest speech at her. She organised these drinks to celebrate her own
Which I was supposed
award.
To go to and I didn't because I went somewhere
else. That's fine. But I thought what was really cool is she invited a lot of other people that I think she sort of felt a kinship with to come and be celebrated as well. Like Susie Wiles, friend of the spin-off, and lots of other cool people.
Paula Morris.
And I thought that was really cool and very much in the spirit of the Women's Bookshop and collectivism and actually, you know.
Yeah.
No one stands as an island in these things. You've got to celebrate together with each other.
All good many mothers.
Totally. I'm trying to remember her speech. It was rousing.
It was really rousing. And I also didn't realise that she used to be a drama teacher and someone else talked in their speech about her time as drama teacher at Auckland Girls Grammar and there were just young women performing like edgy feminist theatre pieces in the streets.
Oh, I love it.
Sounded cool.
She would have been great.
She'd have been awesome.
I don't want to like advise people to like stalk or track down somebody, but if you are in the Women's Bookshop and you do get a chance to talk to her, make it happen.
She makes a good cup of tea. I have to say she makes the best guacamole in the country.
Really?
Yeah. It's a thing. If your book is launched at the Women's Bookshop, there will be guacamole served and there are people who can't even read who come just for the guacamole. So
what's the vibe?
She won't say. I don't know. Well, I don't know
but
what's
you can't
the
even
secret.
Tell like the magic.
No, there's I don't know what it is, but there's a level of chili in it and a level of lime in it that makes it. Is it chili? Am I talking bullshit?
No, well,
sure
chili in it,
and garlic and whatever. Anyway, it's magic, and I think it's best not to know.
Gosh, really?
Congratulations, Carol, for services to Magic Guap on behalf of your nation.
That's the main thing here. We are giving away a book, thanks to the Women's Bookshop this month. It is called What You Wish For by Catherine Robertson. Excuse me. A lively, funny novel set in a vividly realised small New Zealand town full of delightfully quirky characters. If you would like to win that, check it out on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ontheragpod.
May I say that I read it on the beach
you did
in
the homework. Rarotonga,
and it's a lovely, lovely read. The characters have reappeared from other books in that sort of series, and ooh, they've developed, and then they're a new character. So it's a really, it's like going back to visit the your favourite town. It's great.
Love that.
Oh, yeah. That's what we can do. Tell us your favourite New Zealand town. That's going to be the entry mechanism.
Yes.
We also have our private Facebook group, which continues to be a haven on the internet. It is on the rag 24/7. You can just say hello and we'll let you in, basically. Yep. We'll give you a little stalk and then we'll let you in. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. It's not an automatic. You have a little check, hey?
I have a little check. I look at you.
Do say hello or something, though, because sometimes I look at the waiting for approval and I see no response.
Has not answered questions.
I mean, come on, it's a pretty easy
That's like someone knocking on your door and then just staring. Just standing there for hours.
Or somebody ringing you up and not speaking. That's, I know.
Yes. We also have Instagram now. It's crazy. We're, oh, social media, 2019, look out. We got Instagram. It's got 2 posts on it. We started off real strong, but it's going to pick up because we are making a online show as well as this podcast this year, so we'll have lots of behind the scenes. What am I saying?
I.e. Alex wearing wigs.
There's going to be so many wigs. We have a wig budget, like it's crazy. That is at On The Rag Pod, which is also our Twitter handle. Oh, okay, coming up. It's been a shitter of a month.
Yeah, burn it all down and start again, everyone.
We are going to find a way to talk about it without screaming. We could scream as well. We'll give Tina a bit of warning.
I'm
Tina,
not promising I'm not going to scream. I'm not promising that.
No.
I might even cry. I don't you know. I'm on the edge of it at a lot of points.
Yeah.
It is very cathartic to have a yell or a scream sometimes. Alex and I used to indulge in a bit of that after filming the spin-off TV.
We do.
We get in the car and have a yell.
Although screaming in the car's good.
I'm not good at the actual scream because it hurts my throat. So mine's quite a low guttural sound.
Yes, yeah.
It's awful. It is a horrible sound.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I do that when I'm on roller coasters.
And let it out.
Because nobody can work out which person is doing it unless you're sitting directly next to me, and that's usually someone who knows it. Yeah, so it's good. Let it out. Mm.
This is your podcast, Roller Coaster. What should we say? Okay. Should we just start with, how's it going? How's it, apart from the news, so January, New Year, new us.
Yes.
Did we make resolutions? Have we seen the start of January as a new opportunity? We're just right back to where we started.
No, I actively discourage myself from making resolutions. And what I usually do is keep a diary of the first 12 days of the year, because my theory over the years has been that each of those first 12 days is in a capsule what each month is going to be like. And I've checked back, you know, the 2nd of January was terrific and the 3rd of January was a bit meh, and I'll go back and go, oh, February was awesome and March was ugh.
But I really
yeah it's the same.
On the 7th of Jan you pop on a scarf and a beanie.
That's it, because it's going to be winter. But I actively decided not to try and control any of that stuff, and went and sat on a beach and went snorkeling with turtles.
Literally my favorite thing in the world to do.
It's just fantastic. So that's what I'm going to try and do more of this year, is get into the ocean with creatures. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to go and see some dolphins in Akaroa later this week. Cool. And yeah, so I didn't have a resolution, but one kind of came to me, which was just go breathe in the water and see what you can see.
I hope you don't kiss the turtle, though. We were talking in the office this week about animals you shouldn't kiss, and apparently turtles are covered in salmonella.
Don't kiss it on the lips.
Wow.
Do turtles have lips? Hedgehogs apparently also don't kiss those.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's obvious.
It was prompted by some warning in the US to people to not to snuggle or kiss hedgehogs that they find because they're full of diseases.
It's hard to get to a hedgehog's mouth.
It's hard to feel sorry for someone who snuggled a hedgehog. They've got something wrong with them, really.
I love that it was such a problem. Some massive American agency had to release a public service announcement about it.
Like, they were created to not snuggle. You've been silly.
They are very cute, though.
They are really cute. They've got really cute, smushy faces. What about you? Resolutions?
Well, as per my norm, I made 70,000 revolutions.
Spinning!
One of them was to learn how to speak. And I think some of them are sort of in trial. I've got really boring, like, financial ones. But one of them I actually wanted to thank you for, Leonie, which was our conversation towards, probably actually would have been our last podcast, when you started talking about going to the gym and, like, working out in a way that was to see, to, like, gain strength and see your body, like, you know, adapt to being trained and things like that. And I took that with me, and I've been swimming like every morning, and I've started running. It's not very fast or far. I get very tired. It's very hot out there. But swimming has like totally changed like my day.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it clears my head. I can't physically cannot take my phone in with me.
Yeah.
I have looked into the water.
Where do you swim?
Just across there at Morningside. And I love it because it's with all these old ladies. The loveliest old ladies in the world. And I just, we have all these like, the quiet ritual of sort of getting ready and stuff. No one really talks much, but it's just like, I don't know, I just love the ritual of it. And I've loved like feeling myself get fitter and better. And yeah.
Great.
I feel like I've stuck to a resolution. I mean, what's the date? It's not even the end of January. Here I am. The 30th of January.
But that's good. Most people make it to the 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
So that's me. Everything else is going to shit.
I tried to swim a bit more at the gym, and if anything, I've gotten worse.
Really?
I just had no technique. I was never much of a swimmer as a kid. I just like being in the water.
Once
I'm there, I'm not that good at the things that you're meant to do. And so I mostly just kick around on my back.
Nice.
That's nice. Floating. I really like floating. It's my thing.
It's a good
there's a lot of floaters, isn't there?
There's floaters. I am the main floater in there.
I thought of you a lot, Leonie, because your two words at the end of last year at our last pod were strong and independent. They were your two words for 2019.
Yes.
And I kept thinking about that and what a fantastic... You know, if you're going to pick two words for year, I have to find my own. I can't have yours.
You can have mine. My words are your words.
I'm too tired to get strong. So
What about just
rested?
Rest and peace.
Rest and peace. I'll go for that.
Have some rest. Find some peace.
Namaste.
Yeah.
And start singing Kumbaya again. Let's not do it.
That was beautiful, though.
It was special.
It's one of the great memories. And how about you, Leonie? Start of your year?
It's going pretty well. I don't do resolutions either, except for really easily attainable ones like buy a new dish brush.
Yeah.
And then I do it, and then I feel really like proud of myself for ticking something off the list.
Oh, my God. It's like when you write a to-do list and you write things you've already done on it. I only just did it, so I technically could have written this list.
Yeah. Although, to be honest, I have not yet actually bought the dish brush.
No.
But it became a New Year's resolution because I've needed one for a couple of months. But it's achievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that in the next 24 hours if I wanted to.
Yeah, you really could.
But otherwise, my year has personally been fine, professionally hard just because of all the stories that sort of have filtered through and then obviously the local stuff gets sort of covered here in the spin-off office, so you as part of your job have to look at it in the eyes and that is one part of our job that I struggle with, but I always feel proud of myself for sort of getting through it. Obviously I didn't have to do as much work on the recent local news as Alex did, and I have not felt prouder in a very long time.
Same.
Of the work that you did on that Rice Busters story, because it was incredible.
God. Total respect. Yeah, absolutely.
No. I didn't swim at all last week.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear.
Surprise.
Sometimes these sort of things flare up, and it felt, speaking with the woman who decided so generously and bravely to share a story with me, it felt selfish to do anything else.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I couldn't even... I didn't really eat, like I was just, because any distraction that wasn't working on the story felt like a waste. It was I guess there was an urgency to it as well with the
the News Hub coverage on the Monday night, and it's sort of happening in the same week. But
so did you start working on that story because of the News Hub coverage? Then you turned it around really fast. I don't know how you managed to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm incredibly grateful that you did.
Well, it was actually, a lot of it was thanks to the spin-off support network that was laced underneath me the whole time. I had a lot of help from, you know, our other writers doing extra reporting and research, and even down to the lovely Simon Day fixing me a plate of leftover Nando's because I hadn't eaten in hours. And it was just...
And offering to debone the
and
chicken.
And even offering to take the bones out, which I actually should have taken them up on. I regret it to this day.
That is the most compassionate thing I've ever heard.
Well, I know, such a lovely, kind man. I think we should talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. Sure.
That huge, long shit trifle with many, many layers of bad things. Because I would like to start with, I think, the first thing that sort of flared up this year that was like perfect on the rag fodder, which was the Gillette ad, which crazy to think was only like 2 weeks ago.
Was that this year?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I know. So if you somehow missed this, Gillette came out with an ad where they had sort of pivoted from being, what is it, the best a man can get to the best a man can be, with this incredibly delicately, beautifully put together ad showing good men interfering to change toxic behaviour or the signs of bad men.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I really liked it.
I thought it was absolutely fine, and there was no reason to get really angry and take to Twitter.
It didn't appear to be mean or finger pointy, the message was, you could be better.
Yeah.
And here's
and many men's responses were, no!
How dare you? How dare you suggest I'm anything other than perfect? Wow, sensitive bunch of pussies. Sorry.
I mean, I'm not going to lie that because I had a long relationship with someone who worked in advertising, so my distaste for that industry is profound. Mm. And so I did have it in the back of my mind that there was potentially a cashing in on
of
a
course.
Movement. Mm. But saying that, the actual product, the thing that they've produced, compared to every other piece of shit ad in the world, was exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the messaging was not even particularly, it was very gentle, you know?
Almost too gentle.
Could
have gone further. I like the thought that we have reached a point, because ads, you know, encapsulate the zeitgeist and just take it to the next step. That's, you know, they're sort of vaguely aspirational. So the idea to me that the response to the Me Too movement and where gender equality is heading is able to be used to sell a product actually thrills me.
Yeah, sure.
Because it shows you how strong that movement is and how the thinking has shifted in some people's heads, many people's heads. Yeah. So that made me feel really positive.
Yeah.
And then the I'm going to flush my razor.
Piers you can't Morgan, flush a razor. You just stopped crying about a vegan sausage roll. When this ad came along, it just ruined Piers' bloody month. It's just crazy. Because to me, I think it's like, yes, it's cashing in. And yes, you know, Gillette also in tandem tell women to remove every single part of their body hair, et cetera, et cetera. But when you consider the part they've also had to play in shaping masculinity, it's crazy to just go, oh, stay in your lane. All of a sudden decide stay in your lane when they've been swerving all over the motorway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like literally since advertising began. Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, they've been saying for several decades, be a bit of a douche, and now they're going, don't be a douche. That seems like a reasonable impression.
No!
Sorry, missed.
One thing I didn't like was some of the media coverage that really indulged in that sort of other side-ism that I had started to think that we were moving away from, you know, sort of looking at tweets from angry men opposing the ad who had about 7 followers. and three likes on their tweets, as if that was the other side of the argument compared to the many hundreds of thousands of messages and tweets of support for the movement, for the ad itself, for the sentiments expressed in the ad, and somehow giving those the same weight. And I just couldn't believe that media outlets were still doing that. It seems...
That's absolutely true. It's a bit, but they also framed it. Like, I saw the ad. My partner came home and showed it to me, and I had a little cry. And to be honest, and he might have shed a tear because it was quite moving. And then I started seeing headlines saying Gillette suffers backlash or misses the mark with the ad or whatever. And I went, oh my God, did I miss something in there that was actually a terrible message? But no, it was just people going, I don't need to be told how to be a man.
But people whose opinions didn't carry any weight.
Yeah.
Mm. And then even with their own community, do you know what I mean? These people were so unengaged with...
Apart from Piers Morgan.
The leader of the sad men with no engagement.
Yeah. It's annoying, because it gets framed in terms of the backlash rather than the support, because there has to be opposition before it's like a story. You couldn't just be like, hey, here's a cool ad.
Balance.
So, and there were lots of response pieces praising it, but... It really felt like that all got lost. And then I looked at the fucking downvotes on the actual ad on YouTube. I feel like there's no more damning thing in the world than looking at the downvotes on those controversial, the Ghostbusters trailer still, it's like millions and millions of people just going, nah. It makes me freak out that we're living in two different worlds.
Yes.
I feel like that ad, because... I had the same thing. I was like, I have no idea what they've seen. I even watched some of them expecting for there to be some sort of Gillette ethically had done something
or
bad.
Or is it weirdly transphobic and I missed that?
Yeah.
Or, what?
I was like, no, wow.
You just don't
You don't want to be told to be better. And it's not even necessarily you. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But it kind of sounds like you.
Yeah. To be honest, if you're mad at it, then it's definitely you.
It's you. Yeah, no, it's you.
Yeah, and then there was an interesting, there was like another side of it where it was a lot of women, the kind of people that I think believe Clementine Ford refers to as the pick me, girls, writing, where's the toxic femininity in their ad? It was like, why are you reaching that far beyond what we're talking about to actively try and bring women down in this?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, you could really reach it all the way around with that one.
Reach around. Well, the likes, the downvotes or whatever on that Gillette ad do outweigh the
1.3 million
But that's, there's a lot of people just sitting at home downvoting. That's all they do. They don't go for a swim. They don't They don't see turtles, kiss them. They don't. They do nothing but downvote.
Well, that's true. People care more about sharing what they don't like than what they do like.
Yeah.
But I just gave it a thumbs up.
I'm going to go home and give it a thumbs up.
Have you just done it?
I just did it.
Yeah, go give it a thumbs up.
Go give it a thumbs up. Why not?
Militant feminist trying to take over the discourse.
This podcast was brought to you by Gillette.
I'm switching to Gillette, I've decided. It's going to be my own little personal.
Get the blue ones though, not the pink ones.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Man razors.
Man razors.
Made for very sensitive people.
I don't know why the pink ones are actually much worse though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we both have skin. Mm. We all have skin.
And hair growing
and
out of
hair.
It.
And hair. Anyway.
And we need to get rid of more of it, so we should have more blades.
We have way more blades.
Yeah.
More and sharper.
If you're listening, Juliet, here's the next frontier. Now that you've solved masculinity. Oh, dear. All right. I have a new segment.
Oh.
I don't know if we have a sting for it. I haven't even told Tina about it, but I'm doing a little dance. It's called Jolly Holiday.
Oh, my God.
Because I was worried that this podcast was going to be too dark. So I plowed through the On The Rag 24/7 page, and I asked people to just send through some nice things, some nice funny stories, and I just thought we'd share them. Because there's just some great stuff happening, you know? It's not all downvotes and bloody bullshit. So there's a story from Kate, who said, my four-year-old not only corrected my use of gendered language when referring to rubbish truck men by informing me that ladies can be rubbish truck drivers too, but also asked me specifically for a boy's dress, when I searched high and low for a non-pink, non-froofy kind of dress that I thought he might like and brought him home a grey and black nightie with spiders and cats on it, he was happy, but then he asked me again for a boy's dress. When I asked him what a boy's dress was, which I should have done initially, he looked at me and said, "It's exactly like a girl's dress, but for a boy."
Okay.
So cute. Too right, kid. Always teaching me. He does adore his spider dress, but next time he's coming with me and he can choose.
That's fantastic.
That is. That's a jolly holiday.
That is a jolly holiday.
That's created a jolly holiday in my heart.
And I always, those stories always make me feel so good about the future. Because he's going to grow up. And, you know, I believe that children are our future. And that's really, I love it.
Did you just come up with it?
Wasn't yeah, just wow, like that. That's yeah.
beautiful.
I'm kind of channeling
some shit today. You should write a song about that. Yeah. Cool tips. What have we learned this month that we would like to share with the group?
I learned a cool tip. I'm sensing a theme today from a lovely Rarotongan woman. And that is using the leaves on your lemon tree, the things. So she has it as a tea. Just take three newer leaves from the lemon tree, give them a little bit of a twist. Makes a really lovely herbal lemon tea rather than just sort of like putting lemon in it. It's still got that sort of aromatic herbal flavour. Yeah. And it's good for me because my lemon tree refuses to produce actual lemons, so now I can use it. But also, it is a replacement for kaffir lime leaves and lemongrass in recipes because I cannot be bothered buying either of those ingredients ever. You use one little bit and then you never, and then just molds in your fridge.
You can freeze it. You can freeze the lime leaves. Yeah, but I like that idea.
Just the humble lemon tree. You can use the whole thing.
I love the lemon
tree. Well, the leaves and the fruits.
Lemon tree, very pretty.
Yeah.
And the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the whole lemon. I'm just doing songs today. I don't know why I'm doing it. Yeah.
Musical guest.
So, well, then my tip follows on nicely because when I was in Rarotonga, have I mentioned that I've been overseas?
True.
We're currently being blinded by your tan.
Yeah, crazy. You are glowing in an offensive way.
I love it. I packed a box of iced tea bags, you know, the tea bags that you can make with cold water and passing, because I never quite know what to drink. I don't drink beer and I don't know what, I can't explain any more of the background to it. Anywho, passing through duty free, picked up a bottle of vodka. And so all I had to drink, all I needed to drink was iced tea during the day made with boiled water from the jug because it's non-potable out of the tap. And then in the evening, I would start splashing vodka into it with my own little cocktail on the beach.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, and tea bags are so easy to travel with.
Yeah.
So, and I've always, you know, I always take green tea with me, but iced tea bags when they were fruity flavoured and loved it.
I can't believe both of our tips are tea related.
I know. I love it. I love tea.
Wow. Did you check for undies in the kettle?
Check for undies in the kettle. Oh my God. No, I boiled the water in the kettle and tipped it out and then boiled the water again.
An undie
and
flush.
Then, undie flush and then chilled it in the fridge. I don't really believe anybody boils their undies in there. I think that's one of those.
I thought that was yours.
No, that was me. I got told, if you hadn't heard that episode, I was told once that people in hotels and motels use the jug to clean their underwear by boiling it inside of the kettle, boiling them in the kettle. And that's why you should never have a cup of tea in a motel.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, let's be frightened of something things.
I actually think it's true because it's actually kind of ingenious,
but why would you need to boil them? Why don't you just use hot water and some motel soap?
I guess because it's quicker.
Okay,
all right, compact.
Anyway,
it's like boil away the germs.
I don't have undie mouth, so okay.
According to a bunch of things I've read recently, there's feces lying on absolutely everything around us anyway.
Your phone is the least of your concerns, isn't it?
Does
it's
it?
Like all over the show.
Yeah.
I don't really have a tip so much as a cry for help.
Oh, let us help you.
I have began cycling to work as well as another one of my little things. And it was the other day, first time I cycled with a moon cup in. It didn't work. It didn't go down well.
Oh, no. Did it break the seal?
It moves.
Oh. Does it hurt?
It's not that it hurts. I just went, it's like you feel, you're sitting on a measuring cup. in a way that aggressive to the insides. And then I was like, well, that's definitely broken the seal and it's got to, you know, I'll be sloshing all over the show. So I just need some help, really. Professionally, medically.
Cannot help you, so you're going to have to rely on our lovely listeners.
If there are any
listeners, cyclists
out there, just tell me. I mean, because, you know, you have to put it quite low. So once the bike seat's
drop it low.
Getting involved, you've got to...
Yeah.
You've got a situation.
I want to hear from cyclists and also horsey people. Motorbikes.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I've never thought about this before.
Yeah.
No one has ever warned me about this before. And now I'm dealing with a bloodbath. Thankfully, I was like wearing the period undies as well. Oh, I don't know why I'm doing this sort of hand gesture, but it's sort of a
cupping hand gesture.
Cupping of the hands beneath.
Two layers. I like it. Dual core.
But yeah, it was an experience. Love cycling.
Yeah.
Just not with the
intrusion.
Not with the intrusion. So if anyone can get in touch, alex@thespinoff.co.nz. I just need some help. Okay. We're up to the shit trifle. When I talk about the shit trifle, I'm talking about there are four news stories, I'd say, this month, which all stuck out, vaguely the same. I mean, a lot of women will see these news stories and they all sort of start to blur together into the same horrible web of things. The first was Scott Kugelhine returning to the Black Caps and having a stellar game. And what an amazing guy.
Go that boy.
Go the boy.
So gifted.
You're
the boys.
What a future. Without any mention at all of his sexual assault case from, when was it? Was it on the 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 2016.
It was pretty bizarre. Again, it was almost like the Gillette thing, where I was like, okay, you just come back and it's like, no one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
And no one did say anything for a while. But there was like a slew of really great opinion pieces and Kanoa Lloyd.
Yes.
I think maybe it was at the return episode of the project.
It was the first episode back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she did a fantastic job. And there was also that really good, I'm sorry, I should have looked up the name of the woman who wrote the piece about the New Zealand cricket has to stop being silent about, about Kugelhine.
The answer is not silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not to say... She's, if you're talking about the spin-off piece, there was a quote from her where she says, "No one's arguing that any man who ever commits any act of violence be forever shunned from society, but the alternative is not silence. You can't just pretend like that never happened.
Yeah.
We acknowledge that in the court of law, he was charged not guilty. But there are also details of the case that came out that I think deserve acknowledging. They sort of, New Zealand cricket were invited, I think, by Kanoa onto the, to sit at the desk and all that sort of thing. They sent through a statement and they've also since said that they did sort of involved sexual harassment workshops and things like that, which I guess is like a start, but it sort of feels only when prodded.
Yeah, exactly. There has to be something public facing because our sports people, for better or for worse, are held up as our country's biggest role models to children.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, and we want to see people attempting redemption, asking for forgiveness and doing something to fix it.
Yeah.
So, and we ask for that from the people who did the thing, and we ask for that from the people who then elevate them to a position of power and privilege, really. Mm. So if they've been quietly going around in the back scenes doing some work on consent and sexual harassment and violence, great, but it needs to be seen. We need to be able to see that.
Indeed. Also, you should be proud of that. You should be shouting about it and setting an example to all the other sporting institutions in New Zealand, which might not have such a great reputation.
Well, and cricket and rugby both have terrible reputations for the way that their players treat women. So,
oh, they really do.
Yeah.
I absolutely would never be able to repeat anything on this podcast, but the stories I have heard about specific All Blacks, like that we think of as our shiny, shiny golden boys, first-hand accounts, are just awful.
yeah.
Yeah. And that was just the first of it.
And then there's and this leads us into the rest of the discussion, is that imagine being one of those women and having to have their image, their name and their success placed in front of you constantly.
Or if one of them wanted to launch his music career on the 6 p.m. news, for example.
Needed to raise some money to do that.
Exactly. Because, yeah, that's not the only part. It's like sending a message to the general public about, you know, the steps that someone like New Zealand cricket should take, but also thinking of the survivors.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that's so often overlooked.
Yeah.
We're talking now about Roastbusters, I am assuming, and Joseph Parker breaking his silence after 5 years passed since the Roastbusters scandal, were frequently described in the media as like sort of group sex and like parties, like party drinking group sex.
Yeah.
It wasn't that.
No.
It wasn't
that. No.
And I feel like
sex ring.
A lot of that was missing from his return to the public eye, which God only knows why he decided. Well, we know why he decided to do it, but
I suspect, though, because there's been a lot of dissection of, like, who's behind the scenes and who was encouraging him and who was coaching him. And some people have said, oh, he's definitely got a media advisor or a publicist or something. And I absolutely do not think that's the case, because I don't think any PR professional would encourage him to do it how he did.
No.
But a lot of his reasoning behind why he was doing it is to do with finding God and finding Jesus and feeling forgiven. So my theory is that there's some kind of like American like youth leader or pastor who just sort of thinks that being forgiven by God is enough.
Yeah.
For everything. To cover it, just covers just a blanket.
Confess, God forgives.
God forgives. So you go and tell everyone about God, and then that will be your good deed done. That'll be your redemption.
You're absolved.
I don't know this for sure, but this is just my theory.
That makes better sense than, yeah, like I agree. I don't think any PR person would have suggested that he do what he did.
No, or lawyer. I mean, I feel like he was on some pretty shaky ground. And a lot of his answers, you know, when Karen Rutherford asked him, at what point did you realise having non-consensual sex with underage girls who were drunk was wrong? He didn't deny it.
No.
He just said the police have all the details of the complaints and they came to the conclusion they did for a reason.
Yeah.
That's really facing up to your actions.
And the reason actually was that the investigation was really badly handled, and it was the police themselves who in their own investigation found that. So that was the reason. Wasn't that you were okay.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of problems with the whole way the interview was conducted, edited, broadcast, you know, quite apart from that it was, why does he get, well, this is your fantastic story, Alex, why does he get to have a voice and a platform and exposure and get to tell his story when we don't give that privilege to the survivors? But, I mean, I keep hearing in discussions about how that interview was broadcast that over and over and over again, Karen asked him if he was sorry. And he never answered that question.
No.
And I, as much as I don't think any of it should have been broadcast, I don't understand why that wasn't put in, because it's damning, really. But I just feel like none of it should have been stuck on the 6 o'clock news.
No, I totally agree.
And it was framed in such a way that felt, I'm not sure if I ended up including it in the story that I wrote with calling her Laura, one of the Roastbusters survivors, but she sort of talked about the way that it was framed as sort of a gossip piece.
Yeah.
Like a salacious sort of, it wasn't that, you know, for her and for who knows how many women, last week was one of the worst weeks of their lives.
Yes.
You know, and that all, that wasn't part of it.
To not be heard, and then for him to be heard again.
Yeah. And because there's so many victims as well. So, like, I also found very offensive just sort of broadly referring to the whole group as these young women, those young women. It was just so vague that every time it was said, they became more and more invisible, you know? Like, I really genuinely think a better journalist would have said, here's an example of one of your victims. Here's their police report. Here's what they've said you have done. What do you say to that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's so much more effective by making him look at one person in the eyes, even if they're not there.
A specific.
They're just referring to them as this nameless group that's sort of, it's in the past now.
Which is how.
I know that wasn't their intention.
That's how rape culture works, isn't it? By making women nameless and faceless and an amorphous bunch.
You just sort of feel them fading into the background the more he talked about his experience. He even used the term, what I've been through, which I thought was an incredible thing to say.
What a spin on it, eh? Yeah. Like, to somehow victimize yourself, which, I mean, also came to light when people discovered his Patreon and his music bloody career with these songs, which he had talked about the Roastbusters experience as traumatizing for him and him having to run away. And again, I go back to Laura. She said, I couldn't run away.
Yeah.
I was here. You got to go to LA. I was here in New Zealand. And that, I mean, it's easy to forget the media circus around. I mean, we saw it last week, to be honest, but we saw it at the time.
You couldn't
get away.
There's no way you could not see here all of it.
She just had to stay here and get ill and be stressed and drop out of university and just have every single part of her life crumble a little bit because of him while he got to escape and have a music career.
Yeah.
Mm.
And by the way, his music is shit.
That would be all of our honestly held opinion.
Honestly held opinion.
Yeah. And that was also something that I wanted to get across in the same way that, like, I don't know if it was like an attempt to humanize Joseph Parker or like show us. There's that idea that like the rapists are always like the ones with the balaclavas in the in the alleyway, right? The same way I feel like their survivors aren't like these women kind of cowering in a stock photo in the corner. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just getting on with their fucking lives, you know? That's the other thing. That, yes, they're hurt and yes, they're constantly in pain, but they exist. Like, they're in the world. They're around us. Yeah. They're around men. They're around people like Joseph Parker. Yeah. They watch the news, you know, and they see that. They're not sort of this, like, fantastical concept of, like, a victim.
Yeah. They're overcoming their nerves and suspicions to go on a date with someone that they like, that they will have to, at some point, explain what has happened to them, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it was a really intense week last week, and it was interesting. I mean, because there's almost two strands to it, right? There's like the central, there's the Roastbusters story, and then there's almost like the media side of it.
Mm.
And I, one thing that did kind of irk me slightly in the response to my story was how many people really aggressively tagged in News Hub and was like, shame on you, News Hub, shame on you, Karen. And I was like, let's not get too bogged down in that. I mean, not to defend News Hub either. I think they did go about it the not entirely the most sensitive way that they could have. But also it's a bit woods for the trees as well, you know. I mean, I was happy that people, you know, were responding and reading it. But I think it's a little bit of misdirected anger potentially as well.
I definitely think the intention was good on News Hub's part. I think they had tried their hardest to sort of expose him in some way, but it just didn't go far enough.
No, and Karen was the person who broke the story in the first place, so she's probably been following this and his activity all the time. So, you know, for us, it popped back up.
Yeah, but absolutely. That's
like the survivors.
Many years of work for her. Yeah, totally.
So I can see.
Definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm. What a January, eh? And then there's more. Do we even want it? The Defence Force.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Ordering, what's her name? Maria Taylor to pay her alleged abuser $28,000.
Yeah.
Despite finding it likely that he assaulted and falsely imprisoned her in the 1980s.
They locked her in a flipping cage. The good news on this story, though, is that the Give a Little page that was started for her has over $52,000 in it.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. Community justice then. Yeah.
So I think, I mean, there's some work to try and get some appeal to try and get the New Zealand Defence Force to pay those costs.
And they were entitled to, I mean, I find it hard to even understand this the logic behind any of this, but the New Zealand Defence Force was entitled to ask her for costs for their part of the case as well, and they said no thank you, which is the least they could do.
Well, actually, they didn't say no thank you. Jacinda told them that they couldn't.
Right.
She actually intervened directly and said, no, 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 do not take a dime from that woman.
You did a perfect Jacinda finger there. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you. But yes, hopefully the government can intervene once more and not have her pay her own money or ours to her abuser. I mean, ideally, he wouldn't get any money at all. And it was all on a flipping technicality, like, you know.
Yeah, that's
statute of limitations and the ACC Act.
I did not know we had one.
This is just lawyers being lawyers without really knowing the psychological and emotional impact of whatever they're lawyering.
And then there's Grant Hannis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And this was the most recent one, isn't it? This was just, was it yesterday, the day before? Was he a journalism lecturer?
Yes.
And, lots of our peers in this industry studied under him. And, my thoughts go out to you guys because it's a heavy thing to think about and have to know.
Yeah. Yes, and I imagine, I don't know if I'm really, I'll just say in general terms that somebody doesn't start sexually assaulting women later in life.
Yeah.
So I always think that in instances like this where it appears to be a sudden act, that there's the likelihood that it had it's part of a pattern.
Yeah. Oh, for context, if maybe we've got some international listeners. So Grant Hannis was a journalism lecturer from Massey University who's found guilty of sexually assaulting a patient in a rest home with dementia.
An elderly 82-year-old woman.
Yeah, elderly woman. The details of the case are absolutely horrific once the sort of name suppression was lifted and they printed the details. It was just so sort of took her into her room and shut the door and then were interrupted by a care worker, a rest home worker, who went off to get a manager and he kept going.
Yep.
It's absolutely awful.
Absolutely shocking. And I thought his sentence was shortened because they lifted name suppression. Is that right? Like there's like a correlation as if that's sort of
because
punishment.
Us being able to say Grant Hannis' name is part of the punishment. So, So men of standing get less of a sentence, like no time in prison, he gets home detention. Yeah. Men of standing get that because they're no longer men of standing.
Yeah.
Which
says a lot about how we class people.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In society.
If we'd never heard of him, he'd be in prison.
Yeah, that's right.
If he was a plumber, he'd be in prison.
Yeah. What do we mean by standing? Oh, we mean white and middle class.
Yeah. It's amazing how we value those things.
Yeah,
and I think he was late to plead guilty. There was like the prospect of having to put this 82-year-old woman with dementia on the stand before he pleaded guilty to some of the charges is just, can you imagine what that's like? My 84-year-old mother's in a nursing home now and just, I would kill people. Yeah, so that's
right. Well, we're done with the shit trifle, I think that's all of them. So that's, I think it's time for a jolly holiday.
I need it.
Yeah.
Tina's ready.
Tina's ready. This actually, oh my goodness, this is someone from who's inside the On the Rag community page called DJ McLean, who commented breakfast. The morning show Facebook page posted a story about there being massive support for New Zealand drug buying agency Pharmac to fund pads and tampons. And this man, John Bander said, it would be better to put the money towards Bibles for all children, which got 2 likes. And then lovely D came in and said, I don't think the Bible will fit in my vagina, but I'll give it a good old Kiwi try.
That is fantastic. The Bible tends not to be absorbent. If you notice it, like it's on really thin paper often, that's just, I mean, it's great for rolling joints.
It's very good for rolling joints.
A Gideon's Bible, but not up your, koozie.
DJ McLean is one of ours. She's part of the On the Rag 24/7 community. It is a 2-year-old post, and she's really, I don't know. I think her friend might have like just dug it out of the
crypt,
but I, for one, do not care how old it is.
I will love it. Repost in 2 years. I will still be loving it.
Yeah. A good old Kiwi try is just, it's part of the lexicon now.
Totally.
That's all the effort I'm putting into everything.
A good old Kiwi try. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Dee. You are a legend. 2 years ago, 2 years from now. And the next thing I wanted to talk about was just sort of something that's been seeping in through different different outlets. The most recent story written about it was by Elle Hunt for The Guardian UK when she was writing about selfie dysmorphia, where people are now, due to Snapchat filters and things that alter their face, look like a cute little bunny.
Facetune.
Taking those photos to plastic surgeons and going, this is what I want my nose to look like. This is what I think I look like. And then when you see a real photo of yourself, it just ups the self-loathing, etc. And I feel like this is sort of alongside Jamila Jamil's work with Ai Wei and her calling out big brands for retouching, and also Jess Quinn, the model here in New Zealand, who's trying to pass some legislation for brands to declare if they have retouched the models, which is such a great idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It almost is one of those things where it's like, why is that not the rule from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, lots of brands have actually started moving away from it anyway, and I really appreciate that about ASOS, for instance, as much as I'm sort of against fast fashion. They have all size models and visible like scars and stretch marks and blemishes. And I really love it. They still look beautiful.
Yeah.
But they look like actual human beings who are beautiful.
It's so extraordinary to me that what you put into your eyes affects your brain. Like I can remember spending some time with, Holly, my daughter, had Barbie dolls. And then I spent a day looking at Lamely dolls. They're dolls for kids that are built like humans.
Right.
As opposed to elongated and ridiculous.
Alien eyes.
And I did a whole lot of research into them for something and I can't even remember what it was. But when I took my eyes away from looking at those dolls and looked at a Barbie, I just found it hilarious. And the other thing that happened was when I looked at myself, I felt like I was a normal person because I'd filled my eyes up with these pictures of normal humans.
Yeah.
And I also know, I've noticed this, I used to find my face without makeup really freaky because I wore some, you know, like eyeliner and mascara every day. And because of a horrible skin thing, I haven't had any makeup on for 2 months. And now when I look at my naked face, I just go, oh, it's my face.
Yeah.
Fill your eyes up with real stuff and you find the unreal stuff bizarre.
Yeah, I did a cull of my Marie Kondo'd my Instagram feed.
Oh, okay.
And I took away the people that didn't spark joy, which turned out to be a lot of beauty influencers and a lot of like just kind of influencer culture in general and models and Kylie Jenner and all these sorts of people. I just went, you know what? I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I love your lipstick and I love your eyeshadow, but you're stressing me out. And instead there's like, I think especially following Ai Wei, which is Jamila Jamil's sort of initiative, which is I_Wei. And that's a great way of people submit photos of themselves with a whole list of things that they are, that's not their weight or the way that they look, you know, academic, survivor, and all these sorts of things. And from there, there's like a really good list of other people to follow to just sort of flood your Instagram body positive, uplifting, just something a little more real. There's also the thing, I mean, I feel like the next frontier once we get advertising sorted is like Facetune and those sorts of apps where, I mean, no one's going to declare that they've Facetuned their own photo.
At this point, I think that is going to become a much more insidious issue than advertising. Like, it'll be one of those things that, we've fixed this, you know,
big money industry in advertising, but we can't control what people are doing to themselves individually.
Mm. Yeah.
But maybe we can help stem the tide by making sure they're not just constantly bombarded externally.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe.
Well, we put ingredients on food, right? You know, you say how much sugar's in it. So say how much photoshopping is in it. Seems like a reasonable thing.
Declare how many pimples you really have.
Yes. Yeah.
But I guess the extrapolation of that from if you have to declare any image that's been retouched, it actually probably works for the food industry and for the drinks industry, because then you can't constantly be like shoving these sort of like beautiful chicken sandwiches down people's throats that don't actually look like that, that don't actually look appealing in any way when you see them in the flesh and that are terrible for you and are full of sugar and fat.
And also getting rid of the other comparison I've got there, free range and organic food is often less beautiful than the chemically synthesized food. That's how I feel about my face. So I've got an organic face. Free range.
Organic, free range. Butcher.
It's better for you.
It's better for you.
Oh, I love it. Sometimes I do just do worry that even if it's all done away with, the fact that we can like take photos of ourselves so often.
Yeah.
And constantly be reviewing our own image. I don't know how you undo that obsession.
Like, maybe we get over it. Maybe because it used to be just movie stars who, you know, got photoshopped, who got photographed and photoshopped and made to look beautiful, and then you'd meet them in the supermarket and go, yeah, you're not that much.
But now you would meet them in the supermarket.
I know, all the time.
Always bumping into Julia Roberts at the countdown.
She's quite nice. She's taller than I thought. Yeah, so maybe we'll get over ourselves and have two categories in our head of what we look like when we're photoshopped and what we actually look like. But I don't know. No, I'm making that up. I've got no idea.
What if, here's my kind of bad feminist confession that I've been thinking about, especially like the likes of Jameela Jamil will post a photo being like, here's me, no airbrushing, no retouching, and I'm just like, fuck you.
You beautiful bitch.
You botch.
Like, I want to know that's been photoshopped.
Yeah. I'm just going to assume that it is and she's lying. It's not fair. Yeah,
but she is great. But
yeah,
the thought is there, and it would be honest.
You're allowed to begrudge someone their beauty privilege.
We're amongst friends.
It's a privilege for a reason.
She might, something terrible might happen later. I'm sorry, that's rude. She'll just get older. I don't know what'll happen. She'll be 55 and invisible one day. Probably not.
I would like to read more things from beautiful feminists about beauty privilege, because I read, you know, that young woman, Tavi Gevinson, she was a fashion blogger prodigy from like the age of 12, just really smart. And she started Rookie Magazine, the online magazine for young people. And when she gave up her fashion blog to start Rookie full time, she sort of had gone through the awkward puberty phase and was entering into just being a very, very beautiful young woman. And she wrote about the privilege that that afforded her. I think she was 16 or something at the time. I was like, oh my God. But that to this day, and that was years ago, she's probably in her 20s now, is the only sort of quite heartfelt and properly deconstructed thing I've ever read by a beautiful feminist about their beauty privilege. And I would like to read more.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I'll try and find a link to it.
Yeah, it'd be good. I'm just thinking Rookie Mag, like, folded, didn't it?
It did.
But surely, hopefully, the archives are still there. I'd love to read that. Do we have any other... That was my bad feminist confession earlier about beautiful old Jameela Jamil. Are there any other confessions of the month we'd like to atone for our feminist sins?
I don't know if I've got any, because I'm a perfect feminist.
Yeah, I'm pretty perfect too. I spent so much time with the turtles, I'm also...
She's probably got salmonella though.
Probably,
I mean, my only confession corner is basically I can't keep up with all of the amazing links that everyone's putting in.
No, same.
24/7.
Yeah.
That is my confession. There is so much awesome stuff every day. It would be a full-time job to read it all. I stuff catches my eye and I engage whenever I can. And I, God knows I appreciate every single discussion that goes on in there, because it is really cool. And even kind of when shit hits the fan, and we've only had a couple of sort of
iffy interactions on the page so far, and they have been resolved so well.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's no just sort of, you know, shitty digging your heels in and being a dick to each other. It's like proper communication about different ideas or...
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, nobody's gone on... Yeah, anytime anybody's been upset, they've reached out to somebody and it's all, it all gets fixed. And it's great. And I the only thing I promise, I don't read everything, but if I hit like or do a laughy face, or I actually have read it. I'm not just scrolling through going, no.
Sorry, true, just, same.
Yeah, sorry. I love
I haven't.
Know it.
Sometimes I see a picture and I just go, that's fun.
That's lovely.
I'm sure that's good. New goal, engage. Engage properly. But it is like very heartening to see the way that that page has been embraced and the way the community's come together. Sometimes I do go, oh my gosh, this is sort of scary how many people there are and, you know, the sort of outpouring in there. Yeah. But we're sort of trusting the process up until this point that if there are skirmishes and stuff that one of us can fix it.
Yeah.
I think to have like a really heavily moderated, intense kind of approval thing, I don't know, it's just it's a time suck as well as kind of killing the vibe of it.
Yeah.
What we might do is add a couple of community guidelines to our about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get feedback from you guys on what you think those should be as well.
Yeah, that would be really useful.
Just some rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm. 12 rules for life, in a way.
10 things
boil your mints. It's one of them, I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Speaking of, mansplain moment. Anyone got one?
I don't have a... I feel like I went out and bought... I bought some new tech. It's too boring. But I spend a lot of time in tech stores and I feel like there was a lot of mansplaining going on and I just went, oh, fuck it, I'd give you my credit card and leave. So, yeah, people saying things to me like about how many gigs memory and shit, and I'm going, I've got that, and they go, oh, that's not enough, you need that. And I'm like, fuck you, I know how many gigs memory I need, dude. But yeah, all right, upgrade me.
Yeah.
Oh. It's part mansplain, part confession corner, that one.
Yeah. It was. It's layers.
I feel like the whole month has been one big mansplain.
Yeah.
No, ladies, that is not how the world works. That is not
true.
You think that you're right, but you're wrong. Yeah.
That is not what the Gillette ad means.
Yeah.
That is not what Scott Googleine did.
Yeah. And this man is very interesting and should tell his story in prime time.
Yeah.
There was a mansplain submitted from on the Rag 24/7 person that I just had to include. It's got a positive twist again. It's a layered one with a surprise at the end. Jess says, my husband mansplained how women should go to the toilet with togs on, and the mortifying part of it was that he was right. Did you know that you can just pull the togs to the side?
Yes, you can.
Apparently everyone else knows this. I'm 39 years old and my husband just taught me how to pee.
Oh, bless.
Oh, I love it.
Layers.
Yeah, just hook it around the flap. That's all you need to do. And you get to a point in your life where it stays there. You don't even have to hold it. It's great.
Oh, my God. Hook around the flap.
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of sting now.
It's a great band.
Hook around the flap. I'm dead. Oh, dear. The only other news story I've got in this document is that we realise everyone's been taking the pill wrong because of the Catholic Church.
This fucking blew my mind. Yes. I can't even, like, I still feel like it's a fake news story.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. Bullshit.
The actual running your pills together thing, my doctor told me years ago that you don't have to have a break, and in fact, it's better for you not to.
I did not know this.
And I think I've even said it on here before that I don't have periods because I run my pills together.
Yeah.
And the very first time she told me that, I did a little, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, absolutely, absolutely, don't even worry about it. It's
better for you.
These are the reasons.
Less chance of cancer.
And so then I just sort of, after she told me each consecutive visit, don't worry about it, because I was still really skeptical. And then I would start saying it to friends and they were like, I don't know. And it was just like this chain of us not being sure how that could be right, because we'd been told because of the little sugar pills.
So I only took the oral contraceptive in the 1980s and we were told specifically, you know, you got to do the sugar pills, you got to bleed, you got to...
Yeah.
And then when later on people were saying, it's not actually a real period, it's not actually and they were right. And I thought they were bullshitting me then. And it's, oh, fuck. I can't believe it. So I didn't need to have periods. I had terrible, terrible periods.
Yeah, it's 7 days of hell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 7 days of placebo pills that you get in a pack of contraceptive pills is completely useless.
And it was done right in the hope that if women looked like they were having a period, the Catholic Church might go, all right, then.
Yeah.
Like they would.
The seven-day break was introduced in the 1960s. It was thought if the pill followed a natural cycle, it was more likely the Catholic Church would approve of the artificial contraceptive.
But can I just say, how many fucking years, 60 years later, we're still taking the sugar pill? 60 years later, with not a fucking word from the Pope.
No. The Pope needs to speak up.
I think maybe we should all just send the Pope a little note and just be like,
maybe we should send him a bloody tampon.
Just to let you know.
Fuck you.
I'm running my pills together because you were obviously very concerned about this.
But hold on. So the alternative is women proving they're having a you know what I mean? The Catholic Church would have to see that women are bleeding and then go, okay. So how does that play out?
So we should be posting all our tampons and pads and contents of moon cups to the Vatican.
Because they give a shit, man.
They care
they
so
want
much.
They care so much. Know. You may as well ask them about your bicycle problem as well while you're at it. See what the Pope has to say.
Oh, dear. Again, it speaks to the theme of just a month of mansplaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate mansplain. That's a 60-year mansplain that we only just got told about.
I can't believe it. What else are you keeping from us? What else are we doing wrong?
But can you imagine if men were told that for 60 years they've been doing a thing that actually cost them a lot of money and made them quite miserable and it had been a big piece of bullshit, that they wouldn't be out in the streets. They'd be fucking Brian Tummer. Have a march. It's just like, where's Jordan Peterson?
Army of lawyers on it.
Yeah, they'd be suing the shit out of everybody. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen how they mobilise against a Gillette ad. So can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? Yeah. Wow.
I've gone a bit hysterical.
I love it. It's very hot in here. We'll wrap up with our watch club recommendations and book club before we get to the Yas Queens. What have we been reading, watching? That we'd like to share.
Like all of New Zealand, I read Normal People by Sally Rooney summer.
Yeah. I love a trendy book.
I do too. I don't know why I was reading it. I just got told I read this really great book here, Borrow It, by our general manager, Kerry Ann. And at that point, I hadn't heard of it. So I was like, great book. Mm-hmm. And then as I opened it, all of a sudden, my Instagram feed and Twitter feed and emails were just full of people who were also reading the same book. I was like, it's like an unintentional book club, which was cool.
Yeah.
And I really loved it. And I really loved the characters. And I found the main woman protagonist just so real and relatable and just the most beautifully three-dimensional young woman and all of the complexity that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And she was cool.
And the author is younger than me.
Oh my God, she's so young. Yeah. I've already complained about this.
What does she look like without makeup on?
Most importantly.
No.
Wait, did we talk about this in the last? No, we didn't.
We have had this conversation.
We've just had this conversation, haven't we? Because I finished the book and then there's a few blank pages and then you get to the inside back and it says, Sally Rooney was born in 1991. And I went, fuck off, and threw the book across the room. Just quite a way to finish a book that you've really enjoyed.
And also, this is her second novel.
Oh,
her second best-selling novel. How dare
you? There's probably shit she can't do.
Yeah.
But boy, she can write.
Yeah, right.
She ever kissed a turtle on the mouth?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's mine too. I loved it. I hate books, but I like that one. Go to the women's bookshop.
I love it.
What about you, Michelle?
I read Megan Dunn's Tinderbox, which is Megan Dunn is a Wellington writer, and it's a little book about her failure to write a book, which sounds a bit meta. When somebody described it to me, I went, oh, wank. And it is not wank. And it's really lovely because there's a bit near the end of it where she's in the Arrow Valley video store and she's explaining to the guy who owns it what she's been doing, which is writing a book about her failure to write a book, and he box. Ooh, sounds a bit meta. Yeah. Okay. And so it's in the book. So it's really cute. And she's the queen of the metaphor, like Patricia Lockwood in that same kind of style of just putting two disparate ideas together to make this really powerful, punchy metaphor. Or similarly, sometimes she uses the word like. Yes, thank you. So that's really lovely. That's great. It's great. I haven't been watching much. I've been, because we've been not here, and it's really nice
You've
not
been
having
watching the sea
been,
and the
I've
turtles.
Been watching the turtles. But I'm back into series two of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm really loving. Yeah. Yeah.
Watch that. How about you, Leonie?
I very much enjoyed watching all of Sex Education on Netflix in very quick succession.
Oh.
What is known as a binge. It is a, I guess like a high school coming of age set in the UK, but very much shot like a big shiny US high school rom-com. But it's about quite a dorky young man whose mother, played by Gillian Anderson, who's just perfect as a sex therapist. And he finds himself accidentally giving advice to a classmate along the sex therapy lines and ends up inadvertently in a sex therapy business at his high school, whilst also being incredibly incompetent in his own sex life.
Fantastic.
But the characters are just so fantastic. There's nothing two-dimensional about any single character in it. And it's really sex positive. It's really body positive. It's really inclusive. It really does make you think that if this is the kind of shit that young teenagers get to watch about being a sexual being and absorb those messages, that it's okay to feel weird and confused about stuff, but anything you feel is still normal, is amazing. And it's funny. It's so funny.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I adored every second of that.
I like. Yes.
I've basically just been alternating between, I've watched 8 seasons of The Walking Dead.
Holy!
Over summer. Just like the antithesis of everything you've just said. I don't know why. I just like, I am obsessed with it. Like, I am, it's all I think about. I dream about it. I want to kill a zombie in my lifetime. And I realized that I was trying to sort of analyze it. There's also like some amazing women in the show. It's the show starts off real rocky. It's super male. It's super white. And you can see, because, you know, watching, it's been going for what, nearly like 10 years, but condensing it down into a summer, you can see the way that the show has reacted to like representation issues and the public mood. And by the end of it, the woman, and there's like 2 white guys in it. Everyone else is like awesome. And I was just like, this is cool to see a show actually react to the world around it.
And that's probably why it survived.
And there's zombies in it. I find it like cathartic as well, because for some reason I've always sort of gravitated towards horror and like gore and violence. But more recently, I'm sick of watching things where it's just men killing women.
Yeah.
And this, everyone dies. So yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
This might seem like a really stupid question, but are there any zombies that are good?
Not yet.
No. Oh, okay. So they're all bad.
They're getting like smarter.
Right.
They're basically just like driven by like an animalistic force. Yeah. They have no good or evil. They just want to eat flesh.
Yeah.
You know.
And then soon one will learn how to love.
That's what I'm talking about. No spoilers, please. And Marie Kondo tidying up with Marie Kondo, of course, is
the world swept, is condoing their lives.
The world.
I fucking love clutter. Everybody can keep their hands off my clutter. I fucking love it.
I have enjoyed the tidying up process. I have shed many tears. I'm someone who has a deep emotional attachment to my things.
That's why I love my clutter.
Clothing from particular moments and things like that I find really hard to get rid of. I see it as a personal affront if someone gets rid of something that I've given them, ever. So I think learning to sort of let go of a bit of that and also just consuming less as we face the apocalypse.
Yeah, sinking into the boiling seas.
Exactly. Which brings us to Yas Queens.
Yas Queens.
My Yas Queen is actually on that note, is that, is she from Denmark? Greta Thunberg, the 15-year-old climate change protesting teenager who is so cool. And it also kind of scares me in her intensity and her how plain spoken she is about the crisis. But I'm like, if we can't get a, you know, politicians and world leaders to speak like that, then someone's got to. So she's encouraging kids to take every Friday off school to protest, you know, government action
yes.
on climate change. She's speaking at all these massive world conferences and just sort of plainly saying things like, I don't want your hope. I want you to panic.
Yeah.
I want you to feel the fear that I feel every day. And it makes you feel sick, but that's what we need. So yep. shout out to her. Yes, Queen.
Yes, Queen.
For looking
yes.
us straight in the eyes and speaking truth to power.
Mm-mm. I think we need her in New Zealand. It's one of our regional councils that just rejected a whole bunch of, like, climate change policy because it hadn't really been proven yet.
No.
We just didn't think that the community actually had the proof that it needed that climate change was a problem.
Oh, God.
I think I was in Taranaki, and then apparently there's all these, like, school kids from, like, schools around the area who've been taught about climate change, and we're like, oh, my God, you don't have to stick around for this. We do.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
reject climate change initiatives because you don't believe it's real if the rest of us do. Anyway.
Wow.
Old farties.
Yeah.
That's what we call them. Who are your yes queens?
My yes queen is Alex Casey.
Yay!
No!
Because it was a shitty week and, oh, I'm going to cry. That's really dumb.
Oh my God.
I was so relieved that somebody with your wit and articulateness, which I clearly don't have. That's not a fucking word, articulateness. I was so angry that night and I wanted somebody to fix it, to write the thing that needed to be written, and you did it and you were the perfect person to do it. It was an amazing piece of writing.
Aww, thank you.
It's true. It was.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm so proud.
The woman, Laura, that I spent a few hours across the room from on Tuesday afternoon, who shared her story for the first time publicly. I'm speechless, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot I can say, but the bravery and the generosity in doing that and ripping open all those wounds so she could heal and also be able to heal others and sharing it. It's just like immeasurable.
Yeah.
And I was just lucky to be able to be a vessel to be able to tell her story. So thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Yes, Queens.
Yes, Queen.
And thank you to Tina, of course.
Tina.
Who's now clicking all over the show.
Thank you for producing
in this extremely hot room.
She took a scarf off.
She took a scarf off, which means it is sweltering.
Yeah.
thank you again to the Women's Bookshop for supporting us. Please go and buy a book of them and tell them that On the Rag sent you. Ask Carol about a guac. It'll probably confuse
you. What is the ingredient?
What is the secret ingredient?
And come talk to us on the On the Rag Facebook page, On the Rag 24/7. Or you'll hear from us.
Instagram. That was so good.
I thought you were going, it's the crab. It's the crab. And I was like, where's the crab? I thought it was turtles. At Instagram. There's two photos there. Give them a like. And On the Rag Pod. We'll see you next month. Bye.
Bye.
Make happy.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.